I heard next a series of booming noises which resembled the sound of rocks falling and piling on top of each other, and then everything was quiet again. A few minutes later, Don Gennaro came back and sat down. He asked me if I had seen. I did not know what to say. I turned to Don Juan for a cue. He was staring at me. I think he did, he said and chuckled. I wanted to say that I did not know what they were talking about. I felt utterly frustrated. I had a physical sensation of wrath, of utter discomfort. I think we should leave him here to sit alone, Don Juan said. They got up and walked by me. Carlos is indulging in his confusion, Don Juan said very loudly. October 18th, 1970. I think I understand what Don Gennaro was trying to do, I said to Don Juan. I said that in order to draw him out. His continual refusal to talk was unnerving to me. Don Juan smiled and shook his head slowly as if agreeing with what I had said. I would have taken his gesture as an affirmation except for the strange glint in his eyes. It was as if his eyes were laughing at me. You don't think I understand, do you? I asked compulsively. I suppose you do. You do, in fact. However, understanding is not the real point. Your mind is set to seek only one side of this, he said. He took a dry twig and moved it in the air. He was not drawing in the air or making a figure. What he did resembled the movements he makes with his fingers when he cleans the debris from a pile of seeds. His movements were like a soft prodding or scratching the air with the twig. He turned and looked at me, and I shrugged my shoulders automatically in a gesture of bafflement. He drew closer and repeated his movements, making 8 points on the ground. He circled the first point. You are here, he said. We are all here. This is feeling, and we move from here to here. He circled the second, which he had drawn right above number one. He then moved his twig back and forth between the 2 points to portray a heavy traffic. There are, however, 6 more points a man is capable of handling, he said. Most men know nothing about them. He placed his twig between points 1 and 2 and pecked on the ground with it. To move between these 2 points, you call understanding. You've been doing that all your life. If you say you understand my knowledge, you have done nothing new. He then joined some of the 8 points to the others with lines. The result was a long trapezoid figure that had 8 centers of uneven radiation. Each of these 6 remaining points is a world, just like feeling and understanding are 2 worlds for you, he said. Why 8 points? Why not an infinite number as in a circle, I asked. I drew a circle on the ground. Don Juan smiled. As far as I know, there are only 8 points a man is capable of handling. Perhaps men cannot go beyond that. And I said handling, not understanding. Did you get that? His tone was so funny, I laughed. He was imitating, or rather mocking, my insistence on the exact usage of words. Your problem is that you want to understand everything, and that is not possible. If you insist on understanding, you're not considering your entire lot as a human being. Your stumbling block is intact. Therefore, you have done almost nothing in all these years. You have been shaken out of your total slumber, true, but that could have been accomplished anyway by other circumstances. After a pause, Don Juan told me to get up because we were going to the water canyon. As we were getting into my car, Don Gennaro came out from behind the house and joined us. I drove part of the way, and then we walked into a deep ravine. Don Juan picked a place to rest in the shade of a large tree. You mentioned once, Don Juan began, that a friend of yours had said when the two of you saw a leaf falling from the very top of a sycamore, that the same leaf will not fall again from that same sycamore ever in a whole eternity, remember? I remembered having told him about that incident. We are at the foot of a large tree, he continued. And now if we look at that other tree in front of us, we may see a leaf falling from the very top. He signaled me to look. There was a large tree on the other side of the gully. Its leaves were yellowish and dry. He urged me with a movement of his head to keep on looking at the tree. After a few minutes' wait, a leaf cracked loose from the top and began falling to the ground. It hit other leaves and branches 3 times before it landed in the tall underbrush. Did you see it? Yes. You would say that the same leaf will never again fall from that same tree, true? True. To the best of your understanding, that is true. That is only to the best of your understanding. Look again. I automatically looked and saw a leaf falling. It actually hit the same leaves and branches as the previous one. It was as if I were looking at an instant television replay. I followed the wavy falling of the leaf until it landed on the ground. I stood up to find out if there were 2 leaves, but the tall underbrush around the tree prevented me from seeing where the leaf had actually landed. Don Juan laughed and told me to sit down. "Look," he said, pointing with his head to the top of the tree. "There goes the same leaf again." I once more saw a leaf falling in exactly the same pattern as the previous two. When it landed, I knew Don Juan was about to signal me again to look at the top of the tree, but before he did, I looked up. The leaf was again falling. "I don't understand how you're making me see a repetition of what I had seen before. What did you do to me, Don Juan?" "You're chained," Don Juan explained. "You're chained to your reason. There's nothing to understand. Understanding is only a very small affair. So very small," he said. At that point, Don Gennaro stood up. He gave a quick glance to Don Juan. Their eyes met, and Don Juan looked at the ground in front of him. Don Gennaro stood in front of me and began swinging his arms at his side, back and forth, in unison. "Look, little Carlos," he said. "Look! Look!" He made an extraordinarily sharp, swishing sound. It was the sound of something ripping. At the precise instant the sound happened, I felt a sensation of acuity in my lower abdomen. It was the terribly anguishing sensation of falling. Not painful, but rather unpleasant and consuming. It lasted a few seconds, and then it subsided, leaving a strange itch in my knees. But while the sensation had lasted, I experienced another unbelievable phenomenon. I saw Don Gennaro on top of some mountains that were perhaps 10 miles away. The perception lasted only a few seconds, and it happened so unexpectedly that I did not have time really to examine it. I cannot recall whether I saw a man-sized figure standing on top of the mountains or a reduced image of Don Gennaro. I cannot even recall whether or not it was Don Gennaro. Yet at that moment, I was certain beyond any doubt that I was seeing him standing on top of the mountains. However, the moment I thought that I could not possibly see a man 10 miles away, the perception vanished. I turned around to look for Don Gennaro, but he was not there. The bafflement I experienced was as unique as everything else was happening to me. My mind buckled under the strain. I felt utterly disoriented. Don Juan stood up and made me cover the lower part of my abdomen with my hands and press my legs tightly against my body in a squat position. We sat in silence for a while, and then he said that he was truly going to refrain from explaining anything to me, because only by acting can one become a sorcerer. He recommended that I leave immediately, otherwise Don Gennaro would probably kill me in his effort to help me. "You are going to change directions," he said, "and you'll break your chains." He said that there was nothing to understand about his or about Don Gennaro's actions, and that sorcerers were quite capable of performing extraordinary feats. "Gennaro and I are acting from here," he said, and pointed to one of the centers of radiation in his diagram. "And it is not the center of understanding, yet you know what it is." I wanted to say that I did not really know what he was talking about, but he did not give me time and stood up and signaled me to follow him. When we were getting inside the car, I looked around for Don Gennaro. "Where is he?" I asked. "You know where he is," Don Juan snapped at me. Before I left, I sat down with him as I always do. I had an overwhelming urge to ask for explanations. As Don Juan says, explanations are truly my indulgence. "Where's Don Gennaro?" I asked cautiously. "You know where," he said. "No," I protested. "No, I didn't know that." I was truthful at that. My mind refused to intake that sort of stimuli as being real. And yet, after 10 years of apprenticeship with Don Juan, my mind could no longer uphold my old, ordinary criteria of what is real. However, all the speculations I had thus far engendered about the nature of reality had been mere intellectual manipulations. The proof was that under the pressure of Don Juan and Don Gennaro's acts, my mind had entered into an impasse. Don Juan looked at me, and there was such sadness in his eyes that I began to weep. Tears fell freely. For the first time in my life, I felt the encumbering weight of my reason. An indescribable anguish overtook me. I wailed involuntarily and embraced him. He gave me a quick blow with his knuckles on the top of my head. I felt it like a ripple down my spine. It had a sobering effect. "You indulge too much," he said softly. Don Juan slowly walked around me. He seemed to be deliberating whether or not to say something to me. Twice he stopped and seemed to change his mind. "Whether or not you return is thoroughly unimportant," he finally said. "However, you now have the need to live like a warrior. You have always known that. Now you're simply in the position of having to make use of something you disregarded before. But you had to struggle for this knowledge. It wasn't just given to you. It wasn't just handed down to you. You had to beat it out of yourself. Yet you're still a luminous being. You're still going to die like everyone else. I once told you that there's nothing to change in a luminous being. He was quiet for a moment. I knew he was looking at me, but I avoided his eyes. Nothing has really changed in you, he said.